Tuesday night, September 29th.
Okay. yes, Lord. By your Spirit. Yes.
You're good.
You are good. Lord, you are good to us. Oh, your goodness toward us is such abundant goodness. Just such great goodness. Lord, we thank you for that. Oh, that we would... we aren't worthy. But that we would be your servants in a way that would make your abundant goodness make sense or whatever. Whatever, Lord. Lord, we ask that you use us. Use us in these hard times when people are looking for light. They're in darkness. They're looking for light. That we would be bearers of your light, your truth, O Lord. That we would rightly discern your word and be able to express that rightly discerned word. Oh, Lord, by your Spirit, you do that good work and prepare us. Prepare us. Tonight, prepare us, oh, Lord, by your Spirit, do that good work.
Yes.
Amen.
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 Well, if I can get Chuck to get me down in the basement, I'll put a new lock on that door and get some keys. You know, I can get down there. I just have to get down the steps.
Well, you don't have to necessarily.
Well, I can do it.
Okay, well,
get a habit of
we'll get it squared away.
Until, yeah. Because in a way, it's my fault.
No.
But it's my personality. And I've had to deal with that personality aspect in me for, well, I'm 84. Probably 80 years since, that I can remember.
All the problems came up when you were 4 years old.
Well, it started about that.
Yeah. Okay.
But I was, when I was 8 years old, 10 years old, I didn't enjoy being around 8-year-old and 10-year-old kids. I enjoyed being around 4- and 5-year-olds.
Uh-huh.
And I still do. I never changed in some of that. But I liked what I saw Sunday morning.
Yeah, I did too.
And the thing is, what we got to do is be careful that we don't think that they're understanding everything we understand, because they don't.
Sure.
But I understood some major things Sunday morning, not just Sunday morning, but as I thought about the whole picture.
Mm-hmm. This one's mine. Oh, this one's mine. Yours is in your room.
As I thought about it, I thought, if you guys, and I don't know that you have them, I have, but if you've been wondering, well, what are we doing here? You know, it's like we've been accused. Well, I've heard it as if we were accused of preaching to the choir. In other words, we're saying the same thing over and over and over and over and over, and we all know it. No, we don't know it. That's not what 1 Corinthians 14 is all about. It says, let the prophets speak two or three, and let the other test. And if anything be breathed to another, let the first hold the peace. And it says that you all may learn. We have been in a learning process for 20 years.
Yeah.
And the day came when I knew that I had to keep my mouth shut, or at least not totally shut, but and let it come out from, you know, how is it, brother, when they come together? One has this, one has that, one, You know what I mean? It's supposed to be that kind of a ministry, so the Holy Spirit can speak to this prophet, can speak to that prophet, and so that you all may learn.
I think we have had just a lot of fresh manna.
We have learned a lot of major things.
Uh-huh.
And not everybody understands this. You know, you guys do, but the revelation of who Jesus is, that's not a little one. That's a biggie. That gets your head cut off.
Uh-huh. I'm familiar with old manna. Yeah, that's what is primarily what's offered.
Yeah,
that's the thing that But here it's fresh manna. More than as much as any time in the course of our history.
Yeah,
maybe more. I don't know.
You remember? Was it a couple of weeks ago when Glenn read something that he had that happened to him?
Yeah.
You know, that was phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And what that is the evidence of what God is doing in him as well as us. And I've had a couple of really good talks with Pablo. You know, I thought he might even be here tonight or one of these nights
I don't know what it is. The last few days, that's really been on my mind, on my heart.
Yeah, and we have to understand now. We haven't really been in a close fellowship with him. That we still may hear some things. There may be some things that won't strike us quite right. But that's okay.
Yeah,
that's who we are. That's who we're all in. From a different perspective.
Yeah. You know, if you think about it, if you think about it, that's exactly what Christ did.
Yeah.
He would hear the disciples say something, and how many times did he hear something that was wrong, and he didn't just jump down their throats? You know, he waited until it was a time to bring the correction or bring the insight.
Yeah.
And, I mean, so if you hear something that you don't feel is 100% on track, how do you respond in love to that, and how do you let God get that where it needs to be? You know, we're certainly empowered to point out a scripture that might help them see some light or let the Holy Spirit work.
Mm-hmm. It's funny this is being brought up in the kind of the spirit that it is. I read a couple different passages of scripture, and I think it was John 3 and Jude, and I saw something, and then as I was sitting here listening tonight, I went, well, you got to be really careful before you maybe start to, I don't know if enforce is the right word, the scripture truth, but like this. As far as like Jesus Christ being a man and the Trinity, it caught me when I read this in Jude. For certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, ungodly men who turn the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
It's like these men were condemned centuries ago.
Yeah,
that brought this doctrine, and I'm going, and I'm just reading about it now. Well, it's mm-hmm. being opened up now,
mm-hmm.
and then there's places in, well, and what I realized tonight is you got to be so careful with this. You have to be like really sensitive, but. Let's see. I wrote to the church, but Diapatris, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Therefore, if I come, I will call, this is in 3 John, 3 John, or, yeah. I will call to mind his deeds, which he does, prating against us with malicious words. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren and forgives those who wish to, putting them out of the church. You know, some of this is going to start happening.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another spot. See, the thing, I guess what, I was kind of urged to read in John 1 and then 2 and 3 and Jude. And it says, because it was all based on when I read this. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that, as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose these things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever trespasses and does not, and here's the part that kind of caught me, does not abide in the doctrine of Christ, does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this doctrine, do not receive him into your house or greet him. For he who greets him shares to his evil deeds.
Sounds kind of important.
Yeah, and so it was kind of like, you know, pretty soon we're going to, obviously you can't just throw that doctrine at someone and the minute they don't accept it, blow them off.
Right.
You know, but if you lovingly bring it and they don't want to receive it, we should not fellowship. I mean, that's kind of what I'm reading. You correct me. I mean, that was kind of the insight I got.
Oh, seems to be.
You know, we're not sharing in the truth anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't share in the truth, how are you going to walk together as one? You know?
Mm-hmm. And
if you totally, I mean, that's if you refuse it, you know?
And all truths aren't equal.
Yeah.
I mean, there's some truths that we may not have, but
right.
This truth is salvational.
Right.
Yes, it is.
And so you go,
yes.
I mean, people could, Christians for sport, like to argue about what Scripture may or may not mean, but there are certain things you just say, I can't compromise on this because this is salvational. I was thinking, Charlie, you made a comment before about old manna and new manna and how good it is that we're getting new manna. And I was thinking, while that's true, what's even exciting to me is the ability to discern old manna from new manna. I mean, because when we were getting that old manna, we thought that was really good stuff.
Yeah, I guess that's true.
And now I don't think we would be fooled by that.
So
we'd go, I don't know where that, how does that line up with this? And you go, yeah. But, and
yeah.
I'm done. I could go on, but I'm done. Mm. For now. That was really good, though, what you brought, Ken.
I mean, you know, when you read 1 John, you know, that there's 5 chapters, and there's so much of it in there that's pointing to this truth. And he's making it important.
He's talking about the doctrine of Christ.
Yes.
Well, you know, what those words mean is the doctrine of anointed man.
Mm-hmm.
It's that, you know, there's no divinity in Christ. You know, it's anointed man, and we do know Jesus as the anointed man.
But how long has it taken us to realize that?
Yeah, right.
Okay.
Right.
And And it's like you wonder, well, how could we have not realized it?
And the whole business of fully God and fully man, that is such an ugly backdoor way of making the man a god.
Yeah.
You know, a Trinitarian would say, well, you know, we believe that Christ came in the flesh. Well, you do not if you make him a fully God.
Yeah, and fully man.
Let me read this here. Now, listen to the way this is worded. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Hereby you know the Spirit of God. And then it says, every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God.
Mm-hmm.
And every spirit, okay, first it says, you know, here's how you know the Spirit of God. What do you mean every spirit? How many spirits are we talking about? It doesn't matter. Because the Spirit of God is the same as any spirit God sends out. So every spirit that confesses that Jesus is a God, is a Christ, is God, is from God, is come in the flesh. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God, and that is a spirit of the Antichrist.
And so, going on to where it's saying later, so are you going to invite the Antichrist into your home?
Yeah.
You know.
But what spirit?
It's harsh, but it is harsh.
Uh-huh.
What doctrine or whatever would to say that Jesus did not come in the flesh? Are there any doctrines that would say that? Yeah.
Oh, well, you mean all the religions that say he's a god?
No, any would say that he didn't come in the flesh.
Right, because all those religions
that say he's a god. Backwards.
Yeah, and I'm with you. A lot of people. I've been really affected by what you wear, red teeth.
Co-equal, co-eternal, coexistence.
Yeah, right.
How did he come in the flesh?
Yeah, right.
You know, and I was thinking when you brought up, well, the doctrine of Christ, and, well, what is the doctrine of Christ? That's not the, well, you know what? Everything about Christ is because of who he is as a man.
Exactly.
So every doctrine of his is related to him as the man. Mm-hmm. You know, the perfect man.
His doctrine is what God told him.
Yeah.
His doctrine is God's doctrine.
It's what he had to be sacrificed. That's the doctrine of Christ, that he was sacrificed to redeem us of our sins. And that's why we'd be baptized in his name for the redemption of sins.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that stuff is just really starting to flow together, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean,
and let me tell you another thing, okay? And, you know, let God give us understanding. Let him give it to us. At the right moment, he'll flip the switch, and the anointing will come, and whoever is listening will get it.
Right. Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Just like on the day of Pentecost.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Now, here's where I can be really corrected, you know, or say, back off. But I'm not saying it should happen immediately. But I think in the days to come, we're going to probably, I feel we should come to the place where we're going to say, you know, so that people aren't questioning, here's where we stand according to Christ. That he's a man. That's what this group of believers believes. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you got to be careful because you don't want to just blow somebody out of the water prematurely, you know. But I think sooner or later that has to be the essence of who we are, you know. I mean, so maybe gently present it to those we're involved with now, But when people start coming in, it should be almost like, this is just a common thing. This is just who we are.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know.
Yep.
I don't know.
You know,
up to you know, discernment, whatever. Correction.
We are to follow in Jesus' steps. And my, he did not pussyfoot. You know, he was not very accommodating to the standard religion of the day.
Yeah.
Now, I, you know, he was anointed. You know, well, but come that day when we are, then.
Well, yeah, that's the whole point, though. He was anointed.
Yeah.
And in the, oops, I'm sorry. Go ahead, Corey.
Yeah.
Well, I wasn't going to say too much. I was going to. All I was saying was, he. Actually, it's better. Go ahead. I'm done. I lost my thought, kind of. So.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's all right.
In Acts 2:36. Now, listen to this. Therefore, I mean, Peter's talking, and he's talking to what, 3,000 Jews, at least 3,000. They were gathered under, you know, and they could hear him up in the upper room. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made the same Jesus, whom ye have crucified, who did they crucify? A man.
Yeah.
He made the same Jesus whom we have crucified, both Lord and Christ. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do?
Mm-hmm.
And see,
yeah.
I've been there.
You know, that the whole of the New Testament is dealing with people who have too much of a stake in the current arrangement.
Yeah. Yeah.
And therefore, don't, you know, truth is in second priority, or at least not first priority. I don't know where it is, but it's not first priority.
It might not even have any priority.
Yeah. And, I mean, that is the theme. That's a big theme throughout the whole of the New Testament. And I expect it to be a theme in the latter day, too.
The humanity of Christ?
Well, whatever the issue, we're going to... Hey, I got too much at stake in the current arrangement. I'm not interested in hearing anything else.
The humanity of Christ is sandwiched through the whole Old Testament as well as the New.
Yeah.
You look at it, I started looking at it, and I thought, unto us a son is given. Unto us, a, you know... In Isaiah 9:6, in different places, it's like we got it, and then in Deuteronomy, Moses says, "God's going to raise up a prophet like me."
Mm-hmm.
And when he comes, you hear him. Well, Moses was not God; and Moses was a man.
I think to be a prophet is to be not a god.
No. Yeah,
it's that would be an, maybe there are angels that, but if it's prophet, it's man. You know, angels might do things similar to what prophets do, but they're angels and
right.
Prophets are.
There are so many scriptures, like the one in 1 John 3:2, where it says, "It has not yet appeared what we're going to be like, but when He appears, we're going to be like Him.
Right.
For we shall see Him as He is." What's he like right now?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it is a doctrine of such hope because it opens the vast expanse of what's available to man.
Yeah, right. You know,
it just...
And the thing is, you know, when Shannon and Sheila came and we started to talk, and Sheila said, well, of course he's a man.
Yeah, on his face, it's self-evident, isn't it?
Yeah. Did you guys all meet Sheila?
No, I didn't get to
meet her.
Yeah, I met her.
Yeah, sweetheart.
Yeah, she was good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and anyway, she's a kind of a. I heard. I didn't talk to her about it, but I heard she was a Trump, kind of a Trump supporter. Somebody left us some of those little things at the church. Who was it? Bonnie Larson?
I think Bonnie did, yeah.
Yeah. And so I thought, well, I'll take it and send one home with her. And she says, ah.
I didn't hear about this. Was this recent?
Well, it was at a prayer meeting.
When Bonnie was here a few weeks ago.
Yeah, Bonnie Larson was.
And she says, they'll shoot me.
Yeah.
She lives out in Southern California.
I was, Kenny read, Second John 7, for many deceivers are entered into the world who confess not that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. You know, and that lines up with all of the other scriptures that say that if you don't say that Christ came in the flesh, you're a deceiver. He goes on, and I mean.
What is that?
This is Second John 7. Ken read it, but he didn't say exactly where it was, but.
No, I'm sorry. Jumping around. Yeah.
But it was really good. And I mean, I heard that because I think about the disciple, through the Apostle John, and I don't know if anyone had
Second John 7.
If any apostle had a closer relationship with Christ than John, he was a beloved. He was the one that went into. Experience through revelations, and so in my mind, I make up this thing that if anybody knew Jesus Christ, it was the Apostle John, because he kept trying to point out to us the importance of God, Spirit, and the Holy Spirit, and how that, and you know, he's the one that tried to kind of get past the natural. And into the spiritual realm and see the Holy Spirit. I mean, he's trying to lay that roadmap out for us. And then, you know, he puts it right there. It's a, if you don't say that Christ came as a man, he goes on, he says, that would be a deceiver and the Antichrist.
Mm-hmm.
Not a man.
The interesting thing is, it's kind of the same. Jude isn't quite as emphatic about, but he's saying the same thing basically.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. You know. So it's
responsibility.
What did he say?
Which one?
Jude.
Oh,
I think you had read it earlier, but yeah.
Let me see with it.
You know what?
Well, it's kind of, let's see, where did I read it? Oh, for certain men have crept in unnoticed, who long ago were marked out for this condemnation, and godly men who turned the grace of our God into lewdness and deny the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. But I think he might make another.
No.
Which to me, see, deny the only Lord God. That's saying there's one God.
Yeah.
And our Lord Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Well, that's what I liked about that. You know, he clearly said there's two there.
You're right.
What verse is that?
That's 4.
Okay. That is a... deny the only Lord God. That's a funny phrase.
There is a little, A by the end of God.
Yeah.
That means go down. And your text omits God.
Oh, yeah.
But deny the only Lord and our Lord Jesus Christ, so it's the God father. They're speaking of. It's
yeah, right.
The Father.
Uh-huh.
Well, I don't know. Is it say this any different than any of the other translations in John 17:3? I don't think so. This is life eternal. This is eternal life. That they might know you, the only, I like that, the only true God.
See, and so it's there, and it's here again in Jude.
Yeah.
It's that's all over the place.
And Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Whom you have sent. You know.
And then Jesus, I go to your God and my God.
In John 17:3, John, or Charlie.
Well,
are you looking at John 17:3?
I was looking there in Jude, verse 4.
Yeah.
For the in the 8 translations. You get a little variation here.
Yeah.
I think a lot of deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ. So they leave out the God thing.
Well,
it just says deny our only Master and Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, one of the problems with humanity, with everybody, and ourselves included, we get the idea that we know. The Trinitarians, they know that there's a Trinity.
Uh-huh.
So when it comes to anything questionable, they make sure that they emphasize it.
Uh-huh.
You know?
I just, when... The scripture that you've been sharing about whoever denies that Christ came in the flesh is Antichrist. The Trinitarians would say, well, we don't do that. No.
Yeah.
We believe that he came in the flesh. He was also God, but we believe that he came in the flesh. You know, and that is just so wrong.
Well, one way they come right out and say is God came in the flesh.
Yeah, well, yes.
And how can
that's
that be when God is spirit?
Right.
You know, now, God can be in you who are flesh, you know.
God in
sure.
Your spirit.
That's which is a different
spirit,
deal.
You
know that you would become God.
No,
no.
Jesus, in John 4:24, Jesus says God, well, we know it says God is spirit. We know he's not us, or he's not one of many, but God is spirit. And so then in Luke 24:39, and they said it's a spirit. Well, I mean, if he was God, it would be spirit.
Right.
And he says, does a spirit have flesh and bones?
As you see me have, yeah.
So what that does, that gives a whole different picture.
Not only is he man, he's also not God.
Yeah, exactly.
He that sitting there is absolutely to put the Trinitarian doctrine down. I mean, he specifically says,
mm-hmm.
I can't be spirit. Ergo, I can't be God because spirit doesn't have flesh and bones.
Sure.
And he's talking to 150 most fervent followers he has.
Sure.
And he's basically saying, hey, look, clearly this is the way this is.
Yeah. Yeah, I think the scripture denies the doctrine of the Trinity.
Well, that's why Tertullian said you'll go mad if you try to prove it by the scriptures.
Well, you know, and going back to, I think, the issue that Ken raised, which is a good one and one that we need to ponder on a little, is, you know, it's the age-old question, what do you believe? You know, and I think the response is, we believe the Word of God. And then, well, what does that mean? Well, Jesus is a man,
mm-hmm.
not a God. Well, how did you get that? Well, it's in the Word of God. And, you know, and you know what? You might not see that in the Word of God for a while. It's not real easy to see.
It took me a while.
Well,
I'm ashamed of it, but it did.
What you really need, though, I think God wrote this in such a way that if you do a intellectual exercise, or you do a cliff notes skimming, or you just try and do an outline, you can't get what you need to get out of it. And it's done on purpose. I mean, it requires you have to dwell on it night and day, and you have to let the Holy Spirit work on you to unlock it.
Well, being in a church atmosphere isn't good enough.
No.
I there are two instances in which I'm thinking of two different people who had the belief that in the Bible it says fully God and fully man. You know, that's scripture. So, yeah. And they've been decades and decades in church, good church, environment, and you come away with the belief that, well, the Bible says he was fully God and fully man, you know.
Yeah, you know, my wife, you know, bless her soul, was convinced that the scripture said cleanliness is next to She was convinced it said that.
I just heard that quoted somewhere on TV.
We looked. I said, I don't think it does.
Well, I think it's consistent with the tenor of Scripture, Keith.
I found that a lot of women tend to think that's scriptural more than men. Just an observation.
Yeah.
This kind of goes back to the problem. If problems, maybe the wrong way to phrase it. You were saying, Charlie, how this is where we are, and I'm comfortable with where we are, and I don't really want to hear anything else. And so, you know, that just harkens back to, okay, are you comfortable that God has unfolded the entire book to you and you know everything about it? And any honest Christian would say, well, no, there are things that I don't understand yet. Then you have to go, well, then, if you're open to the fact you might not know everything the good book's trying to tell you, then you have to be open to the fact that there's more to come on certain things. And it, you know, someone coming in, and if they've got a zest and a fire for wanting to know God, that's kind of the way you go, well, whatever you think you know, and it may be all really good, I'm pretty sure you admit that you don't know it all yet. And if you don't want to learn anymore, then you've created a problem with the scripture.
That's right.
But this is what the scriptures reveal to us, and we're convinced we don't know it all. And we keep looking. And we may find this is wrong, but even tonight I just have been reinforced on how much the scripture falls into place. If you take the position, Jesus is a man, this is what I believe, this is why I believe it, based upon these scriptures. And it just gets harder and harder for me to see any other position, because too many other things start to fall out of place.
Look at how many, now in the last year or so, we've had more scriptures just been revealed, and they fall in line throughout the whole word on that subject. I mean, you know, look at how all of a sudden here, 3 weeks ago, Luke 39 pops up.
Yeah.
Or is it
24:39?
Yeah, 24:39. But 6-8 months before that, or a year, whenever you put that sign up in front of the church, for Timmy, where that came up, boom, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's just been all kinds of those now tying in. And then telling you that if you don't accept that, you know, you're an antichrist.
A scripture like that one, you know, 1 Timothy 2, having up in front of the church and, or, you know, in a place like that, is got to be one of the most helpful scripture or thing that we can do.
Yeah.
Because you know what happens? It's such a major revelation. And so people read it, and they read it, and they read it, and they read it, and they read it. You know, like my brother Clayton, and this is at Joanna Berkeley party. I don't remember for sure when. But anyway, he read it, and he read it, and he read it, and after a while, he would read it, and he'd look down. He'd read it, and he'd look down. But I knew what was happening. I could tell. It was starting to affect him. You know? We're talking about, people using, thinking of church as what you do if you want to find God, you go to church, and so forth. And so let me give you a thought here. It says, for such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Where are those guys at? What do you mean his ministers? Where are his ministers? Whose end shall be according to their works? If the devil has ministers, where would they be?
In the church.
Ministers of ones that have transformed themselves into ministers of righteousness.
And if you would be that find it, would it also be then, if you there be that are real ministers? Would I be too far out of kilter to say that? So is it any wonder then when, this has been my experience and probably yours as well, but Simon and I were doing a job in a tavern one night, and the drunker these people got, the more religious they became. And the first thing they wanted to do, they said, and I can remember, I didn't know any of them, but they said, I could hear a guy say, "Boy, my life is a mess. I need to start going to church with my wife." The answer, let's go to church. And now, you know what my thought is? Who put that in his head? Let's go to church so I can become an unbeliever.
Mm-hmm. Well, that is a very troubling scripture that you've just read, because in the natural, how do you recognize these ministers of Satan that have transformed themselves into ministers of righteousness?
Yeah.
The answer is
you wouldn't know that.
You wouldn't know it.
However, when you look at what some of them are saying, it becomes pretty obvious.
Amen. Changed to us would simply go, Jesus is God.
Yeah.
And that's how you'd know it.
Deny that
he came in the flesh.
Yeah.
Oh, you're a deceiver and an antichrist. Okay.
No.
One of you guys read a scripture today that was really pointing that out. That, they're misleading us. I can't remember how it was.
I think that was 2 John 7.
Huh?
I think that was 2 John verse 7. I think
was it that, or was it Jude 4?
Might have been, let's see, 7. For many deceivers have gone out into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and antichrist. Is that the one?
Yeah, that would be one.
But there is more than one, yeah.
Yeah.
For certain men have crept in unnoticed, you know,
mm-hmm.
who long ago were marked out for this condemnation.
Yeah, Jude 4 there. Huh?
Yeah,
Jude 4.
You know, when you looked at those That's interesting that some of those translations just totally left out not only the fact of only Lord or only Lord God. They left that whole little phrase out.
Well, I think what they
didn't. It's like they didn't want to put God there and Jesus Christ.
Yeah, it's that it's a reference solely to Jesus Christ,
right.
Not God. They treat the words as indicating that.
That way,
I don't know enough about Greek to know who's
right. Yeah. Well, call to me, it's kind of like saying that's how you keep the Trinity alive.
Well, yeah, I.
But it's interesting because if you read on, but I want to remind you, though you once knew this, this is right after 4, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, so obviously, you know, it's, you got to have God in there. Actually in 4 it says, who turned the grace of our God into lewdness. I don't know why they don't want to say the only Lord or only Lord God. See, because in my, you know, little thing, it doesn't say they wiped out the whole works. They just didn't put God at the end of it.
Yeah. Well, the others, like, it's a matter of denying Jesus Christ, our only sovereign and Lord.
Can I interrupt? Candy is texting me saying, please have the guys pray for Brittany. She has something going on and should be going to the ER room stat.
Mm-hmm.
So, I didn't want to forget, and it's done. Candy knows it's 8:30 and we start to wrap up now. So.
Okay.
Well, let's pray here. Yeah. Lord, by your Spirit. We ask that your hand of healing would be on Brittany now, O Lord. You protect her, whatever it is that's the issue there, Lord. Your hand of protection would be on all her organs, that they would be left intact. That there would not be damage or whatever. So, Lord, your healing be upon her now. Your healing be upon her, O Lord.
Lift this from her, Lord.
Yes.
Okay. Whatever's coming against her, Lord, we rebuke it.
Yes.
We just ask you to send it away, Lord.
Thank you, Lord. Yes. Yes.
Protect your precious Lord God.
Thank you, Lord.
Let her feel your presence, Lord God.
Yes, Lord. Yes. That she would be encouraged by you. She would know the ways that you are all powerful.
Yes.
And that you are all loving. We thank you for the good work that you've been doing in Brittany.
Ask
that you continue that.
Yes, your Spirit. Protect her from the enemy, Lord God.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
Protect her from the enemy, Lord God. To rebuke this.
It's a little sobering rather fragile. You know, the aorta, whatever going on there.
Yeah, she appears to be kind of tough for a girl, you know. But nobody's real tough.
Yeah.
But she needs open heart surgery. And they said they want to do it before January.
Oh.
So that's only a couple months.
Right. You know.
But they said it's not a. Her body's okay, and it's not of a real dangerous operation. But I tell you what, whenever they start working on your heart,
yeah, it's serious business.
It's always serious, yeah. Yeah, they're working on my brother Joe, and we were, and you know, Beverly was there, and Clayton, and Rodney, and Joe's girls, Amanda's just up there, and she says, she looked at us, and she says, she saw me and Clayton sitting there. She says, I never realized just how much you and Clayton look alike, or you two look alike. And I said, I told her, I said, yeah, a lot of people see that, but I said, but I'm a little better looking, I think. And Clayton says, I don't say much for me, does it?
Well, that Clayton, he can bat it right back at us.
That's brotherly love.
All right.
Like Joanne's dead.
Yeah.
I think it turned the seat off. Sorry.
Ken, to your point, but just kind of looking at other translations, only the King James variants have the duality there. Almost all the rest of them do not.
Well, strictly. Jesus, and that's not, it doesn't.
Is the machine on?
No. No, not yet.
Oh, okay.
Well, are we ready for something not to go on outreach? If we should stop it?
Yeah.
We should probably stop it.
Just thought about it.
We love you all.
Joanne's dead.